The Lord be with you.
And with your
spirit. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. On a Sabbath, Jesus went to dine at the home of one of the leading Pharisees, and the people there were observing him carefully. He told a parable to those who had been invited, noticing how they were choosing the places of honor at the table. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not recline at the table in the place of honor. A more distinguished guest than you may have been invited by him, and the host who invited both of you may approach you and say, "Give your place to this man." And then you would proceed with embarrassment to take the lowest place. Rather, when you are invited, go and take the lowest place, so that when the host comes to you, he may say, "My friend, move up to a higher position." Then you will enjoy the esteem of your companions at the table. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Then he said to the host who invited him, "When you hold a lunch or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your wealthy neighbors, in case they may invite you back and you have repayment. Rather, when you hold a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind. Blessed indeed will you be because of their inability to repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." The Gospel of the Lord. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Humility. 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 Is what the church presents before us today to reflect upon. From the first reading, the wise man, Sirach, says, "Humble yourself and you will be virtuous before God." And Christ uses this great image to point out how a humble person should act in public. Humility goes with detachment. Humility goes with attachment to God. And as I was reflecting on this gospel passage of Luke chapter 14, and Christ's parable about the man, or he says, when you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not recline at table in the place of honor, for a more distinguished person might have been invited, and the host will approach you and say, "My friend, get out of that place." And then you would move out, and you will feel embarrassed. Something strikes me, and I'm going to share this personal experience that happened not too long ago. At the ordination of the deacons in May in Baltimore, I was asked to be one of the vesting clergy. The vesting clergy means the priests who were to put on the vestment on the newly ordained. So, as vesting clergy, we were assigned to dress before the Mass in the same place with the bishops. So there was the sacristy where the bishops were vesting, and we were asked to go and vest with them. So by the time we got there, the MCs laid out the vestments for the bishops and then the vestments for the priests on the table. They were all spread on the table. And then we were kind of meeting and greeting and waiting for the procession to happen. So when I got in, I saw vestments sprinkled on the whole table. And then I went and put on a vestment. You know what happened? The vestment I put on belonged to one of the auxiliary bishops. So I had the vestment of the auxiliary bishop on me. And then the other bishops came in and vested. So this auxiliary bishop, I'm not going to mention his name here, but he came in and then he was wondering, like, looking for vestments. And I didn't look at myself. I just saw a vestment and put it on. So while I was there, the MC also kept roving, like moving about. So I think he was struggling on how to tell me. At some point, he came to me and then pulled me aside. And he said, "You are wearing the bishop's vestment." Really? I looked at myself. That was when I noticed that I was different from the priests. So I pulled it out and gently went to the bishop. I said, "I'm sorry, I had your vestment." And he said, "Vim, maybe the Holy Spirit is saying something here." I said, "No." But I kind of felt embarrassed myself. I didn't do it intentionally. But that kind of gives you an idea of what it means to be pulled aside from where you are to a place where you are supposed to be. And definitely that moment will teach me humility. Of course, I don't need any special messenger to tell me that I need to be humble here. But humility is a great virtue. In fact, the fathers of the church describe humility as the mother of all virtues. The mother of all virtues. Saint Gregory the Great, Saint Augustine, all described it as the pivotal virtue, the pivotal virtue, the virtue that is the pillar of the other virtues. And Mother Teresa, Saint Teresa of Calcutta, said this. Says, "Humility is the mother of all virtues, purity, charity, and obedience. It is in being humble that our love becomes real, devoted, and ardent. If you are humble, nothing will touch you, neither praise nor disgrace, because you know what you are. If you are blamed, you will not be discouraged. If they call you a saint, you will not put yourself on a pedestal. If you are blamed, if you are corrected, you don't feel upset. You're not struggling. You're not battling with yourself." So if I ask this question here now, how many of you think they are humble, what would you say? Are you humble?
No.
You think you're humble?
No.
They are catching something here, right? So if somebody says, "Are you humble?" what would you say? "Oh yes. You know I'm humble, right? I'm humble. My wife knows I'm humble." Right? "Hello? My husband knows I'm humble." That is the first failure of the test. The moment you say that, you already failed that test. I was reading Father Cantalamessa, and he said, "The virtue of humility has an altogether special statute. It is possessed by those who think they do not have it." So somebody was telling me about this guy in their office who goes about saying, "I'm the humblest guy in the block. I am the humblest guy in the block. Humility does not pride itself. Humility acts. Humility demonstrates. Humility executes. But it can also be tricky. Humility does not mean thinking less of yourself. Humility is thinking of yourself less. That is one thing. So, I'm not good enough. That is not humility. I'm not good enough. We are good because the image of God and the dignity of God is in you. But you act, you serve, you give, because you recognize that whatever you do, whoever you are because God is the one who is acting and who is dwelling in you. That is what humility does. If we look through the scriptures, you will notice that a lot of crises that people had was because they had in themselves pride. So pride is the opposite of humility. But the extreme of it is self-loathing. So if you go through the Old Testament, you will see how pride, in fact, the Bible even says it, the Psalm says, pride goes before the fall, right? So think about Lucifer. Lucifer, the height of the angels, Lucifer fell off because of pride. And when the serpent came to Adam and Eve, so you know that pride is also the origin of original sin that we all inherit and for which consequence we suffer today. What did the serpent say to Adam and Eve? Said, by the time you eat of this fruit, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, for you will know good and evil. Your eyes will be opened and you'll be like God. So that inclination to be like God sprang up, came into Adam and Eve, and they fell off. You remember when the people gathered to build the Tower of Babel, right? Men and women gathered. They wanted to be like God. They wanted to challenge God. And they said, let us build a tower that will rise from here to the heavens. That is when God scattered everything and they fell apart. Just go through this scripture. You will see where pride has played negative role in human existence, in the history of creation. And when you look at it, think about our world today. Is it relationships? Is it marriages? A lot of marriages have broken up, have broken down because of pride, because of the lack of humility. You know who I am, right? You know who I am. Are you talking to me like that? Like that? Do you know you are my wife, by the way, right? Do you know you are my husband, by the way? I pay the bills in this house, right? I pay the bills, I make the money, so I call the shop. I should control you, and you have that remote control. And by the time she's pressing the wrong button, you are already exploding inside of you, and you're ready to pick a fight. A humble person is quick to say, I am sorry. I am sorry, I didn't mean to do that. A humble person to say, please forgive me, and things go on. At workplaces, pride has destroyed a lot of things. In politics, pride has destroyed a lot of things. And sometimes you see it manifests itself in narcissistic tendency, narcissism, right? It's either what I say or nothing is good. That is the problem. And what happens is that you get attached to titles, you get attached to things around you, you get attached to things that you feel that should be under you. Christ challenges that today. And the wise man Ben Sirach compares or contrasts the humble person with the giver of gifts. He says the humble person is loved more than the giver of gifts. You know that the giver of gifts, a generous person, is loved. A generous person is appreciated because he is helping to change the life of somebody. But a humble person is appreciated the more because humility is beautiful. Humility endears itself. So if you are a giver of gifts and that you are humble, if you match the two, then you see how beautiful you will be before others. Jesus is challenging us today to learn. And how do we learn? Where do we learn from? Jesus himself, being God, did not count equality with God something for us to learn or to grasp. St. Paul says to the Philippians in chapter 2, he humbled himself, he became obedient, he took our human form and died a shameful death on the cross. And for that reason, God exalted him. Jesus is our model. Jesus is the one who teaches us. How about the Blessed Mother of the Blessed Virgin Mary, our mother? The Blessed Mother, behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Be it done to me according to your word. And in the Magnificat, she says, for he has looked on the humility of his handmaid. For he has looked on the humility of his handmaid. For behold, from henceforth, all generations will call me blessed. So blessedness comes from being humble. How do you feel right now, hearing this challenge? Is your relationship suffering because somebody feels he or she is the greatest in that relationship? With your siblings, wherever you are, how good our world would be if we learn to be humble, if we learn like Jesus. If we learn like Jesus. St. Thomas More was telling us about the consequences of pride. And here is what St. Thomas More said. He said, the one sin worse than lust is pride, because the former is obvious and animalistic. That is lust. Lust is obvious and lust is animalistic. While the other is subtle and all too human. So pride doesn't, you don't see it. You don't see it. Sometimes you don't even feel it. Sometimes you don't even feel it. But you know when you are lustful. It's easy to say, hey, I looked at somebody, a woman, lustfully. I looked at a guy lustfully. It's easy to say that. But pride comes indirectly. It comes little, and it builds. So St. Thomas More says, pride is worse than lust. But when you are humble, you know God's place in your life. You know God's place in your achievements. You know God's place in your success. And this word humility relates to humus. You know humus. Humus is soil, right? Humus, soil. So humility comes from that word humus. And you remember there's this slogan or the saying, he or she is down to earth, right? Down to earth. That's how we describe somebody who is humble. So down to earth means the person is very, very, very easily relatable. The person is humble, down to earth. So humus. That also reminds us of our nothingness. Nothingness. Dust we are, unto dust we shall return. That is humus. So it's good we understand that a humble person is somebody who is open to God's will in his or her life. So I want you to, during this week, just do a spiritual credit check. A spiritual credit check. Number one, see if you can pick up a saint. Pick up a saint and read the life of that saint. I can give you examples of saints you can read. St. Francis, St. Kateri, you can read St. John Vianney, you can read about St. Padre Pio, you can read about St. Maximilian Kolbe, you can read about St. Augustine. Find out the struggles that these human beings had because they are humans. Find out how they were able to overcome their struggles and their challenges. And find out how that relates to your own struggle and what you are dealing with, especially when you begin to feel, I need to be in charge here. If I'm not in charge, something will happen. You become anxious when you're not in charge. You become upset. You become uncomfortable. So do that spiritual credit check and ask yourself that question. How do I feel when I don't feel recognized? How do I feel when it is like I'm losing control? How do I feel when I am criticized? These are spiritual credit checks that can help you to know that you need to be at the right place. The right place is where God wants you to be, not where you want to be because of your self-importance. God bless you. Amen.